Some immigrants who were recruited to join the U.S. military are being discharged. These immigrants had believed that their military service would be an expedited pathway to getting citizenship. Attorney Margaret Stock is a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve Military Police Corps. She's the author of the book Immigration Law and the Military, and she's the principal attorney at Cascadia Cross-Border Law in Anchorage, Alaska. She talked to Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson yesterday.
How long has it been possible for immigrants to pursue citizenship through military service?
It's been possible for more than 100 years. Immigrants began doing this during the Civil War era, and then Congress passed a law dating back to World War I that specifically authorizes immigrants who served during wartime to get citizenship on an expedited basis.
And have there been any changes or additions or subtractions to that law in practice in recent decades?
Well, the law has not changed. However, the Department of Defense recently altered the law through a set of internal memos. Frankly, that's not supposed to be lawful. The Department of Defense is not supposed to be able to change a law using internal memos. But recently, DOD decided that they no longer wanted immigrants to be able to get expedited citizenship through honorable military wartime service. So that DOD has made it much more difficult for immigrants to apply for citizenship and to get citizenship.
And we'll go into the details of what's going on right now, but as it's been practice and law for the last several decades, what does a person have to do in order to be eligible to enlist if you're not already a U.S. citizen?
Eligibility for enlistment is now controlled by a statute, again, passed by Congress. Congress said that you have to be a U.S. citizen, a U.S. national. You have to be from one of three Pacific islands that the U.S. has treaties with. Their nationals are allowed to join the U.S. military without any restrictions. Or you have to have a green card in order to join the United States military. Now, many years ago, anybody living in the United States could join the U.S. military. So during the Vietnam War, for example, the United States military drafted unauthorized immigrant men, and they were drafted into the U.S. military. They went to Vietnam. They served in Vietnam. That was also true in all prior wars as well. But since 9/11, the military has only allowed people to join if they have a green card or they're otherwise qualified to join under a special program. But generally speaking, to get into the military today, you have to have at least a green card.
And for those who are not familiar with the process, what do you have to do to get a green card?
In order to get a green card, you have to go through an extensive process of filing the paperwork to get a green card. You have to qualify for one, and it's very difficult for most people in the world to qualify to get a green card. You have to pay fees to the government. You have to undergo an extensive set of background checks to make sure you're not a criminal or terrorist or national security threat. And then once you go through that extensive process, if you qualify, you're given a green card, and then you can join the United States military.
So do we know how many people are currently enlisted who are in this category of not yet being a U.S. citizen, but having been under the impression that they would be able to pursue that as a result of their military service?
Well, we don't have exact numbers, and it's changed recently. Recently, the Department of Defense made it much more difficult for a person to join the military. If they have a green card, they have instituted brand new background checks for green card holders. These background checks don't apply to U.S. citizens who join the military, but they take a long time. So a lot of people who are now joining the military with green cards can't go to their training. They can't ship out to training. They have to complete brand new background checks that DOD just ordered last October. In the past, about 4 to 5% of the military was made up of green card holders in the 9/11 period.
So what do we know about these immigrant recruits as far as how they compare in skills or education to the average recruit who is an American citizen?
Well, interestingly, they tend to come to the recruiter's office with many fewer problems. So just to give you an example, in order to get a green card, you have to clear all sorts of background checks. A U.S. citizen who comes into a recruiter's office doesn't have to clear any Department of Homeland Security background checks to be a U.S. citizen. So a U.S. citizen might come into a recruiter's office with an extensive criminal record or maybe mental health issues or whatever that green card holders wouldn't have. And that's because a green card holder can't get a green card if they have those issues. So the green card holders tend to be more qualified than the average American citizen recruit just because they've already been screened a lot already by the Department of State and the Department of Homeland Security before they got their green card. There's other people coming into the military that have higher skills who are non-citizens, for example, the MAVNIs, military accessions vital to the national interest. But the green card holders, on average, tend to have, they're less likely to have a criminal record. They're more likely to go to basic training after signing a contract. They're less likely to have a criminal record after they join the military. They're less likely to misbehave. They're more likely to re-enlist and make the military a career. There have been studies comparing green card holders to American citizens who join the military, and across the board, the Pentagon has found that they get a better bang for their buck when they recruit a green card holder just because the person is less likely to quit the military after joining. As far as skills go, a lot of them do bring language skills that the military needs. It's much more likely that a green card holder is going to speak a foreign language at a fluent level than a native-born American would.
We're talking with attorney Margaret Stock. She's a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve Military Police Corps, and she's the principal attorney at Cascadia Cross Border Law in Anchorage, Alaska. And we're talking about immigrant recruits to the U.S. military who are being discharged. And now, Margaret, about 10 days ago, the AP reported that some immigrant recruits were being discharged, throwing their status on that path to citizenship into question. What happened?
Well, what happened was that there was a special group of immigrant recruits who had been recruited for their high-level skills. They were either U.S. licensed doctors or they were speakers of certain foreign languages, and they had been recruited through a special recruiting program. The Department of Defense suddenly decided that they needed to do lots of extra background checks on these people above and beyond what anybody had ever done on anyone joining the U.S. government before, and they didn't have the resources to do the background checks. So what happened was thousands of these folks signed enlistment contracts and were told that they were going to be allowed to go to basic training in 6 months, and then the date kept getting pushed off because brand new background checks were instituted and DOD didn't have the resources to do them. At one point last year, DOD said they were going to discharge everybody, but there was a public outcry over that, especially coming from members of Congress. So DOD was forced to back off, and they said, no, we're not going to discharge people. We're going to continue to go forward with their background checks. Then it appeared about a year later, which was a few weeks ago, they were quietly doing what they said they were going to do a year ago, and they started just getting rid of people. The excuse that they used was that people had failed their background check, but they weren't telling their recruits why they had failed. They weren't giving them an opportunity to contest the supposedly derogatory information that was leading to them being discharged. And the whole thing was rather quite suspicious. One recruit filed a lawsuit a couple of weeks ago, and yesterday the Army admitted in court that he was improperly discharged. The Army admitted that they had failed to follow their regulations in discharging a member of the military without giving him a chance to rebut the derogatory information. So things are quite chaotic at the moment because it appears that the discharges that were reported by the AP were unlawful, that the military didn't follow the rules when suddenly discharging all these soldiers. And they've now admitted that in court in the case of one of the recruits.
Has the military made any public statements about why this policy was changed and why they are choosing to discharge these recruits that, as you said, were part of a kind of a special cadre of recruits who had skills that they really needed?
Yes. The public information coming from the Pentagon is that they've suddenly decided that immigrants are dangerous and that foreign militaries and foreign intelligence services could infiltrate the U.S. military through immigrants who are coming in. Now, they haven't explained what has changed suddenly that made them more dangerous than the hundreds of thousands of immigrants who've served since 1775. The U.S. military has had a problem with espionage since 1775. You may have heard of Benedict Arnold. Benedict Arnold, of course, was a native-born American. But the immigrants serving in the military in 1775, certainly people were suspicious and thought, you know, these people might be dangerous. The Pentagon hasn't been able to explain what changed in the last couple of years and why suddenly they're terrified of immigrants entering the military and have suddenly decided that they need to do extreme vetting on immigrants. Mm-hmm. But from all publicly available information, there doesn't seem to be any increased threat at all. The Pentagon hasn't cited any public case of any of these immigrants being charged with a crime or terrorism or being convicted of anything. In contrast, there are dozens and dozens of cases of U.S. citizens in the military who have been charged with espionage and terrorism and serious crimes and so forth. But for some reason, they're not vetting those folks. They're vetting the immigrants only, even though the percentage of immigrants that have caused trouble is much lower, and there's no public cases of these folks doing anything bad.
Well, and one of the reasons it seems that the military has given is that these recruits have foreign, I can't remember if the word was contacts or connections, but by virtue of being an immigrant, that's always going to be the case.
That's correct. And it's a very odd situation where the Pentagon seems to be spending millions of dollars to find out something that they knew already. So they're spending millions of dollars figuring out that somebody has foreign ties, but the person signed an enlistment contract as a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew when the person signed the enlistment contract that they had foreign relatives. They were here legally on a visa, so obviously they're not American citizens. And they spent millions of dollars doing vetting, which proved that they were foreigners. And then they're discharging them for having foreign ties. So it's all quite Byzantine and strange, and it demonstrates an extreme amount of mismanagement at the Department of Defense.
And as we wrap up, Margaret, in April, the Army announced that they would not meet their recruiting goals for 2018, and they cited low unemployment and competition from private employers as some of the reasons for not making that benchmark. Would the military be able to fill the holes, both in numbers of people and in skills, that would be left if significant numbers of these immigrant recruits are discharged?
No, the military is not going to be able to meet its goals, and it's just demographics. Immigrants right now are about 13.5% of the U.S. population. So if you're not going to recruit those folks, you're taking 13.5% of the population out of the potential recruiting pool, and that's a huge number of people. It's also a group of people who tend to be more in the lines of the folks the military wants to recruit. If you look at U.S. demographics, without immigration, we're a rapidly aging population, and the percentage of people in the population eligible for military service and the right age for serving in the military has been shrinking. So if you're going to exclude all the immigrants, you're going to have a major recruiting problem, and the only way to fill the ranks is going to be to give waivers to American citizens. So you'd be doing things like increasing your waivers for criminality and mental health problems and drug problems and things like that. And that doesn't help the military to increase the number of folks in the ranks who have bad behavior in their past.
Well, Margaret, thank you so much for helping explain this very complicated issue for us.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. I hope people will pay attention to this issue. It's crucial for the United States military to be able to draw on all talented people in our country, including the immigrants.
That was Attorney Margaret Stock. She's a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve Military Police Corps. She's the author of the book Immigration Law and the Military, and she's the principal attorney at Cascadia Cross-Border Law in Anchorage, Alaska. She talked to Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson yesterday. And if this is your story, we'd like to hear from you. If you are an immigrant to the United States and you have served or are serving in the U.S. military, please share your story. How did you make that decision to join the military? What was that experience like? Did it lead you ultimately into American citizenship? Please email us and give us some contact info at ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.